Greetings. I'm Matt Matthews, one of the pastors here at First Pres in Champaign, and I'm happy to welcome you to our media ministry. Join us in person. We're located at the intersection of Church and State Streets, adjacent to Westside Park in downtown Champaign. Our traditional worship service is at 9 a.m. on Sunday morning, and on most of those Sundays, we offer French translation. Our contemporary services on Sunday begin at 11:15 a.m. When you come to First Pres, what you'll find, what I hope you'll find, is a community of people who support each other and who are passionate about making a difference in our community and beyond. You'll find relevant teaching for children and adults. We have at least a dozen Bible studies and small groups, including pickleball. That's right, pickleball. Adult choir, a bell choir for all comers, and other programs and events designed to grow your faith and give you and me opportunities to serve. There's a place for you. I'm glad you tuned in. Jip has kind of stolen my sermon. That's the sermon in the nutshell. I'm going to try to say that again in other ways. But all of that comes from this text, from this familiar text, kind of troubling text, from the 25th chapter of Matthew's Gospel. Listen to the word as recorded there, beginning with the 14th chapter, reading this rather lengthy parable to the 30th, from the 14th verse to the 30th verse of the 25th chapter. This is Matthew's Gospel. "For it is as if a man going on a journey summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had 2 talents made 2 more talents. The one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I have made 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, 'Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master.' Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and I hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours.' But his master replied, 'You wicked and lazy slave, you knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This text is wisely and widely and simply interpreted in this way. We're all given something by God according to our ability, and we are called to use it for the common good. We are called to invest it in the world. By God's grace, God multiplies what we invest. That's the word in a nutshell. That's this passage in a nutshell. If we back up a few steps, we might wonder, what is a talent? Well, a talent is used to describe, it's a weight of a precious metal, usually gold. A talent was considered roughly the size of a cubit foot. It weighed as much as 57 pounds. Can you imagine? A talent of solid gold. And one was given 5, another servant was given 2, and another servant was given 1 talent. in liquid mass, that's 26 liters of water. A talent equaled in the Greek world 6,000 drachmas. And a Greek soldier was paid how much per day? 1 drachma per day. So the money that Jesus is talking about is not just a few loose coins, though he does talk about loose coins in other parables. This is a significant amount of money. It's a hyperbole, really, a bigger-than-life story to illustrate a point. Now, from this New Testament parable, we have learned or gathered somehow transferred this idea of a talent of precious gold to the innate talents that God has entrusted to our care, the innate talents of offering hospitality, of listening, of being attentive, of building, of craftsmanship, of critical thought. These are talents from God, and we're called to use these in interpersonal skills, these problem-solving skills, this ability to raise children, this ability to dribble basketballs. We're called to use these talents because they have been entrusted to our care to invest in the world. Faithful people believe that these talents are gifts from God. Jesus is saying that God gives us these precious gifts, these people skills, this money, this wealth, these carpentry skills. God has given us these skills to be invested in the community. So use these gifts wisely. Earlier in Matthew's gospel, he likens gifts to a lamp. That lamp, he says, is meant to be set on a lampstand, so it brightens the whole room and everybody is warmed in its light. If we use our gifts only for ourselves, it's like taking a bushel basket and putting it on top of that lamp. That lamp then serves nobody any good at all. 3 servants have been given a large sum of money, and 2 of them, of course, based on their abilities, 2 of them invest wisely, and they are able to show a return to the master. But the 3rd one, what about that 3rd servant? He did not invest what he was given. Why? We read in the scripture that he was afraid. He knew that the master was shrewd and harsh. He reaped where he did not plant seed. He gathered where he had no investment. So, imagine the master coming back to this servant, and this servant saying, I can't give you back your money, or I can give you back the money you gave me, but I can give you no interest because I didn't invest it. I was afraid that I was going to lose it all. I was afraid the investment wouldn't pan out, so I can offer nothing but that which you gave me to begin with. What would the master do? Well, Jesus, in this grandiosity, says that the master would send that servant away to the place of gnashing of teeth and eternal wailing. My goodness gracious. Jesus is not talking about God primarily in this parable. He's talking about the gifts of God, the generous gifts of God, and our call to use those gifts wisely, with intelligence and imagination and love, with faith. Many of us are reluctant to share our gifts. We're reluctant perhaps because we are afraid. We're afraid if we use our gifts in some way, we'll embarrass ourselves. We're afraid that the way we use our gifts might pale in comparison to the way our neighbor uses her gifts, and we don't want to be embarrassed. So we're afraid of failure. We might even be afraid of success. You know, if we succeed in something, that means we're going to have to make a change. And change is a hard thing to do, isn't it? It's a hard thing to live into. So a lot of us are reluctant to use our gifts because we are afraid. Afraid of failing, afraid of not doing well, afraid of succeeding even. And we have excuses for not using our gifts. We've become good at using excuses. I've already lived my life. I'm too old. I don't really have any gifts left. That's not true. It's not true at all, no matter how old you are. I've already used I've already shared my life. It's somebody else's turn. I don't want to give anymore. I've already given enough. It's somebody else's turn. That's an excuse, isn't it? Not a very good one. I don't have anything left over. I've spent myself. I'm too busy to share my gifts. I'm too busy to develop my gifts. I'm too busy to invest my gifts in the world. Or the world needs so much. And look, I only have so little to offer. So my gifts aren't even worthwhile. They don't measure up to begin with. So I'm off the hook. I don't need to share them. In fact, my sharing my gifts would just get in the way of other people, bigger people, better people with bigger and better gifts. I should just keep my gifts to myself, not make any fanfare, not share them, put them in my pocket. Jesus points to a reckoning. God will ask, how did you use the gifts I entrusted to your care? Now, God's going to know how we used our gifts, but I can imagine God wanting us to tell the story, giving us the opportunity to imagine our past and to interpret our past, perhaps to seek God's forgiveness, to look to God for grace. How did you use the gifts I entrusted to your care? And we'll have to say, if I tried to use my gifts, I would have failed, so I didn't use them. Or nothing I could ever do would have turned out well. Look at me, God. Nothing I do ever does turn out well. I'm just not very good at sharing gifts. Yeah, I could have been a teacher. Yes, I could have been a teacher. But I don't think I would have been able to manage a classroom full of children. I could have been a carpenter. You know, I'm pretty good with my hands. But I'm afraid that what I built would somehow be inadequate and fall and people would be hurt. So I didn't use those gifts. I didn't use my gifts at all, God. So look, here they are. Here they are, unused, untouched. At least I didn't fail. And that, I believe, is Jesus's point. Failure is not using our gifts at all. The third servant didn't try. He just buried his gifts in the ground. The master is not angry at the third servant because the investment didn't turn out. The master is not angry with the third servant because it was an unwise investment or the investment failed. That's not why the master was mad at the third servant. The master was angry because the third servant didn't try in the first place. That's why talents are given to us. Money is just a means of exchange. It's meant to be invested and used wisely. So too, our talents, our innate talents, our gifts of hospitality and love and sharing, our gifts of intellect and athletic prowess and curiosity, these are gifts from God. And they're given to us so that we can spend them for the good of the world. And that was the third servant's mistake. He didn't even try. I suspect if we use our God-given gifts, God will be pleased. If we use our God-given gifts and they multiply and good comes out of them, God will be pleased. I think too, if we use our gifts and nothing seems to come out of them that's any good, if we risk using our talents and our gifts in a way that yields failure, if we slip and fall, God will be pleased. I think God is pleased in the faithful expression and use of our gifts, not in the outcome of our gifts or how they are used, but that they are used, to God's glory. Faithful servants faithfully care for and use, invest their lives in the world for the good of the world. Being faithful means strengthening the kingdom of God, the community, the family in which we're born, the community in which we live, the whole wide world, in the manner of Jesus, who loved and reached out and crossed boundaries and disregarded barriers to be brother and sister with the whole wide world. using our gifts in that manner for that purpose must delight God. Whether what we do succeeds or fails, it's not being successful that matters. It's attempting by God's grace to be faithful. The question this morning is not, do I have gifts to share? Did God give me any gifts? The answer is yes. If you've gotten turned around somehow and you're a little down on yourself and you aren't sure what your gifts are, you're not sure what you're good at, well, ask your kids or your grandkids. Ask your grandparents. Ask me, your pastor. What am I good at? What are my gifts? What are my gifts? That's not the question for today's sermon. You have gifts. That's the truth. You do. I do and you do. The question that this text begs us to ask is, how are we going to use our gifts? How are we going to invest our gifts in the world? The master wants to know. In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen. Thank you for joining this podcast of First Presbyterian Church Champaign. Visit us at our campus at the intersection of Church and State Streets in downtown Champaign. And for more information, visit us online at www.firstpres.church. Have a great week.